Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1423, air date April 10th, 2024.
All right, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Ayyaduray. Today, we're going to be having a conversation about, as you know, I've called Tucker Carlson, Fucker Carlson. It is a term of a vitriol that I use because this guy is one of the most devastating instruments that the Zionists and the United States imperialism uses. He's basically a CIA piece of shit. And his job is to always tell news way after the devastation has occurred. So Tucker Carlson exists. It's a very powerful CIA technique that they tell the news after all the devastation has taken place. To make you think like they care about the truth and that they're actually credible journalists, when in fact, it's a very powerful technique that is created to ensure that you have a sense of learned helplessness, which is another technique that the CIA came up with to tell you the truth of how horrible the world is and to make you feel like as though you can't do anything about it. So that's the role of Tucker Carlson. And our movement for truth, freedom, health, and everyone knows, focuses on educating people from a systems approach, be it health, be it politics, be it medicine, anything, innovation, to make people understand that there's something far greater than the apparent thing that you hear. And people have to get wise to understanding this way that the establishment works to manipulate you. So we'll come back to that. But we have a couple of guests from Jordan and who are sort of on the border of where Israel is. So we're going to have a good conversation about Zionism, systems, and medicine. So let me just, to everyone joining, it's going to be about Fucker Carlson, how he numbs you with late news. And we're going to talk about something he just recently did. But let me just play this intro and be right there. All right, everyone, we're going to have a further discussion. We did one analysis of Fucker Carlson. We're going to talk to him about with him in the context of the deliberate role he plays to manipulate people and numb people's brains. We have two guests that are joining me. Yeah, your lighting is really low, Larry. So if there's anything you could do, a lamp or something, but it's okay. But Larry is recently a Truth from Health warrior who just signed up. And then we also have Tom Kia. Tom is a friend of Larry's. First time I'm meeting Tom. But Tom is a medical doctor who also has realized the serious problems in Western medicine. But Larry, can you hear us?
I can, yes.
Okay. So Larry, why don't you just give what you wanted to interview me on and have this discussion? You said to give a platform so I could share with people. Go ahead. Just give a quick intro.
Sure. I'm in Aqaba, Jordan. And the last time I met up with you on a phone call, there was interest in what's going on in Jordan. And I'm sitting in a place where Tom has recently visited, and that's how we're friends, where if I look out behind me, I can look out at Eilat, Egypt, and down the road, Saudi Arabia. So here in this corner of Jordan, we have Saudi Arabia, Egypt. It's very central to the Middle East. I think one of the points that I had made is you asked me, how are things here? And I had mentioned it's frustrating. Because with all that's going on, the thing that strikes me the most with the hardship and the devastation is how passive people are. And I think you'd really pointed out, hey, listen to what Larry's saying, because when things go bad, people may not fight. They may just get, as you said, with the learned helplessness, more helpless. So, you know, I wanted to kind of have a platform for you to ask me questions about how things are in the region. I invited Tom because he's originally from Iran. So if we're talking about the false information or lack of information or late news, you got a couple of guys here who can tell you exactly what's going on in the Middle East, exactly what's going on at the salt of the earth Bedouin level. Most of the people I live with don't speak English, and they're not watching fake news. So maybe it's some news or a perspective that isn't from the mainstream media.
And Larry, why are you in Jordan?
Well, I'm not getting any younger. I've spent the world, my life as both a dive instructor and working in IT. And I just spent far too much time living in Seattle working in IT, and it was killing me, getting fat, unhealthy, and just on a treadmill, basically. You know, I've lived in places like Micronesia, Saudi Arabia, the Pacific, running dive operations for billionaires and all kinds of cool stuff, and working for a Microsoft or a Paul Allen or Micron just isn't very satisfying when you've been out roaming the planet as a dive instructor. So I had an opportunity to come work at this dive shop and just teach people how to scuba dive and take people diving in the Red Sea. So I traded living in Seattle and driving an Audi and wishing I could go on a 1 week vacation to now I live at a Red Sea dive resort. I get up every morning and I take people diving and I get to meet people from all over the planet. And last week I met Tom and his family. And it's really amazing because I get a great global perspective through the people I meet.
Mm-hmm. Tom, just a quick background about you.
Yeah, I'm a medical doctor in Germany. I used to work as a surgeon 8 years, then I stopped and start to develop a system how to regenerate people and go to primary prevention medicine. And my specialization right now in the clinic is different detox procedures. We have everything you find in the world, like apheresis, and that's my specialty right now.
Yeah. All right, good to have you. So anyway, so today or yesterday, I assume both you guys know this guy called Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. Now, he's a deep state CIA agent, and that's what he is, and everyone needs to understand this of this fellow, and it brings up this larger context of how the level of conscious manipulation and agents that people have. You know, people try to infiltrate our movement, you know? People think they can be very clever. And so if you look at the history of, I call him Fucker Carlson, and that's what he should be called at, because it's showing a defiance and a disrespect for a fool who's actually manipulating people his entire life. His father was one of the critical people in the entire CIA's propaganda to manipulate other countries, be it Iran, be it, you know, all the Middle East, etc. And the claim is Tucker Carlson went to be part of the CIA, but he was denied. You know, then he went to Fox News. They must think people are idiots. Anyone who gets on mainstream media is a government agent. You don't get to that level without having been vetted and approved and anointed. And this is a well-known fact that most media people will tell you. It's been, you know, the media people, academics totally acknowledge this, you know? So 2020, it's actually in 2017, 2018, he was supposed to put me on a show. And his head, and this was when I'm running against Elizabeth Warren. And then it was ixnayed because of the fact that I'm a truly independent candidate, you see? And then in 2020, something interesting happened when I ran for office for U.S. Senate in Massachusetts. This time we had 3,000 volunteers, you know. We put up 25,000 bumper stickers, 10,000 lawn signs. It was one of the most pervasive campaigns for U.S. Senate. And I ran as a Republican in a state where it's predominantly Democrat. The Republicans typically just give. They don't even put up a fight because they're a uniparty. But they didn't think that I was ever going to run. And if I did run, that I wouldn't really mount a serious campaign, but we mounted a serious bottoms-up campaign. We got $1, $5, $2 donations. We raised close to $2 million, okay? In a primary race where the Republicans don't put any money. So in that 2020 race, we got no news coverage, right? But we were on the ground showing the power of what happens when people get involved. I mean, you can leave Massachusetts with the Dr. Shiva sign. And nonetheless, on September of 2020, when the primaries held, even the Republicans, Republicans is a primary, right? We have a primary in the United States, and then whoever wins a primary gets to go to the generals. Two parties in the United States, Democrats and Republicans. So by all account, because of the massive work we had done, even the Republicans concluded, that the establishment Republicans, that Dr. Shiva was going to win this on a landslide. Anyway, when the results come in on September 2020, I win in one county. There's nine counties in Massachusetts where all the votes are hand counted by paper ballot, much harder to manipulate. And in every other county, it was 60-40, 60-40, 60-40 to an opponent that no one even knew. To a guy, no one even knew him. He maybe raised $200,000. So this is when I had to conclude, that's better, Larry, you can see your face, that there is election fraud in the United States, serious election fraud. So I put on my hat as an MIT engineer with all these degrees, and I started analyzing these voting systems, and I uncovered that on these voting systems, there is a feature called a weighted race feature, where if, Tom, you're running against Larry, and let's say you get 1,000 votes and Larry gets 1,000 votes, they can multiply Larry's one vote by two and multiply your votes by 0.5. So you end up getting 500, he ends up getting 2,000. It's called a feature. Okay? Now, in order to establish that feature was turned on or not, whenever a ballot goes through these voting machines, it creates an image of the ballot, a photograph. And then the computer does the AI to figure out who got what votes, right? This is on. So I said, give me those ballot images, right? Because if that did indeed occur, then the number of images would not concur with the number of total votes. Does that make sense? Simple math.
Yes.
I issued a public records request, and the government of Massachusetts, remember, I was running in the state of Massachusetts, told me, oh, we deleted those images. We didn't turn on that feature. So I said, that's illegal what you've done. This is a violation of a law called a law that was actually passed by the Democrats and Republicans, 52 USC 20701, which said all records in connection with a federal election must be preserved for 22 months. So anyway, in a series of emails, they're admitting they deleted them, admitting they don't have to answer why. And so I take the screenshots of those images on my Twitter account, I share them. And remember, the election is still going on because a general election, not in November, and we've moved our campaign to a write-in campaign. People could still vote us for write-in. So we're still a bona fide US Senate candidate who's pretty much known all over Massachusetts. And in that event, what ends up happening is the government, so I put on Twitter, government of Massachusetts deleted 1.5 million ballot images, which is true. They deleted them. They're admitting them. I have the emails. So that tweet starts going viral. And within about 24 hours of putting that tweet, and I've never been thrown off Twitter. Remember, I'm a bona fide candidate for the United States Senate, a politician who is exposing the government. This is why free speech was, this is why the First Amendment was established, for the singular reason that political speech should be the highest protected form of speech, right? Particularly during an election cycle. So when I'm thrown off Twitter, which is the platform for politics, Facebook is for kids, Instagram's for, I don't know, marketing, right? Et cetera. But Twitter is a platform for politicians. And here I would do a tweet and I would get 30,000 retweets, right? So it was not like my account was not engaged. People were very engaged with me. And I had real followers, no fake bots, et cetera. So I get thrown off Twitter. And in a news story, someone had talked to the government of Massachusetts, and they admitted they had contacted Twitter to throw me off. So let me repeat. That would be like, you know, the King of Jordan calling Vodafone and saying, take Tom off the internet, let's say he's running against you, Larry. Now, in other countries, it's accepted because there is no First Amendment. But in the United States, the thesis that we have First Amendment, and hold on, someone's, 1 second. Can you help? 1 second, I got to just let someone in.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, so what ends up happening is we find the fact that the government contacted Twitter in a news story. This is clearly the grossest violation of the First Amendment. However, no lawyer in Massachusetts wants to sue the government because lawyers are pussies. Lawyers work for the government. That's the first thing you learn. They'll file, you know, some suit if it's against you, against your neighbor or something like that. But they do not want to take the government on because lawyers work for the government. They all want to be judges. They never want to piss off the government. So I had to understand federal law. I mean, it's one thing representing yourself in some small dinky court. So I had to file the lawsuit in the middle of my campaign. I had to learn all this procedural stuff. I filed a lawsuit and I asked for an injunction, which is very hard to get. You can file a lawsuit. So the lawsuit was against the government of Massachusetts, stating that they violated my First Amendment rights. So, and I said, this is a urgent matter because I'm running for office. The courts have to intervene, right? That's called an injunction. Urgent matter, right? It is. So the judge agrees to hear it. A guy called by the name of Judge Wolf. And I'm the one presenting my case against three Harvard-trained lawyers who are working for the government. In these interactions, we uncovered that me and the judge cross-examined the social media director of the government. And he says, why did you decide to throw Dr. Shiva off? Well, he was spreading misinformation. And the judge says, well, why don't you simply, if you didn't believe his truth was right, why didn't you simply go out on Twitter and say it's wrong? Are you aware of something called the First Amendment? Right? So anyway, yeah. And he goes, how did you decide to get rid of him? She goes, oh, we have a special VIP portal into Twitter. So the government has a special backdoor into Twitter where when they report on a private citizen like me who's running for office, it will be escalated. Okay? So Larry, I don't know if you want to do that because it looks like you have this big, weird hair.
Okay, we'll go down here.
Anyway, yeah, just wanted to let you know. Okay. I mean, it looked like you got some Rastafarian hair there. It's up to you. Yeah. So anyway, but it's very dark there. But anyway, so what ends up happening is the judge is appalled and he issues all the terms of my injunction saying the government will no longer call Twitter. But I was the one who discovered that the government has a backdoor portal into every social media company. This should be on the front page of the New York Times. This is 2020. And it was used against not just some rinky-dink candidate, but a U.S. Senate candidate, which is a federal office. So now, right before that lawsuit, I had written to Fucker Carlson. You know, he's supposedly someone who stands for puts on his grimaces for free speech. And another doofus called Glenn Greenwald, okay, who all claim they did nothing. In fact, they concealed the story. And herein lies the real deception that is taking place to the American people, or for that matter, the world. This is why change does not occur and suffering continues. Because those in power, as I call the swarm, have the obvious establishment, but they have created what you call the not so obvious, what I call the not so obvious establishment, people who claim that they're fighters, but they are agents of the government. Okay?
And this is where, Dr. Shiva, for somebody like me, you've rocked my world because I really want to believe in Tucker Carlson. And I've seen you with a lot of people that you've interviewed. It's tough, you know. We're conditioned to think this is a good guy. He's speaking truth. He's going to Russia and talking to Putin. He's fighting the good fight. So I'm not discounting what you're saying. I'm just saying it's tough to break out of that for this guy.
Yeah, precisely. So you have to understand that, and that is exactly why people need to break out. And that is why, you know, I call him Fucker Carlson. Okay? This dynamic of understanding this is very important because people do not want to curse at these people. Cursing is a very, very powerful way. I mean, when I grew up in New Jersey, people curse, right? You call people who they are. But over time, people are conditioned with this visceral shield of diplomacy to protect these people, okay? And this is a CIA conditioning process, Larry. So those people in the news media are created. The obvious people who are the obvious ones to figure out, but they have the not so obvious people. So if you look at Fucker Carlson's history, he's always Johnny come lately to every story. And you can do your own analysis. I'll give you an example. So anyway, in October of 2020, anyone can go to winbackfreedom.com and you can see all the documentation. And I did all these lawsuits myself, okay? And we're winning our lawsuits. And I'll bring this up. So on winbackfreedom.com, you can see where this is probably the most important lawsuit in U.S. history. And it's been brought out as such. Oh, a lot of noise there, Larry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Is that better?
Yeah. So much better. So if people go to winbackfreedom.com, you'll see the infrastructure that I uncovered. All right. And I'll come back to this. This entire government infrastructure of how the government launders censorship. So this was a woman in the government who'd contacted Twitter. But in between, in 2020 and 2021, I uncovered this entire infrastructure. And that became the basis of the lawsuit. Now, what's important to understand is that Fucker Carlson was notified about this. And I'll show you all of this. And by the way, we must have got about a half a billion views. We did video after video after video. So independent of waiting for the news media, we did everything exposing this entire infrastructure. Okay. Now, here, I write to Tucker Carlson in the middle of this lawsuit in October of 2020. And then after we got our victory, wrote to him. And this should have been gobbled up by a guy like him. Did nothing. In fact, he waited 2 years. 2 years later, this guy, Lee Fang, who's at The Intercept, releases a small half-truth, essentially a small version of my story, plagiarized from it, saying, oh my God, there is a backdoor portal into Twitter. Well, Lee Fang works for The Intercept. The Intercept is an organization created by Pierre Omidyar, which is the one that funded that backdoor portal. You see, The Intercept itself presents itself as a investigative firm, but they are part of the deep state. A limited hangout is a technique that came out of the Nixon era, which was when you know there's a big major story, you release a little piece of it, a small piece of it. Because, and that's what Nixon did. He didn't want to talk about the whole burglary he was involved in. He just released a little piece and to quiet people down. So you follow what I'm saying, Larry? This is a mental manipulation technique created in the 1960s and 70s by the CIA. All right. So that's what they were doing. So right in front of our eyes, they're releasing the story. And here is Tucker Carlson. Look at the way he acts. He goes, this seems like a very important story, acting concerned, okay? Which for some reason ignored being ignored. He ignored the story. You get it, Larry?
I get it 100%.
Two years later, too little, too late. And so what you start understanding is Glenn Greenwald did the same thing, all right? So these guys, you have to understand, are part of the mob. And then they promote each other because Glenn Greenwald used to work at The Intercept. And they create these fake, fictitious. So basically, Lee Fang takes a portion of my work, plagiarizes it, but it's all 2 years later. So the reason I'm sharing with you this example is people need to get their fucking brains together. You cannot be dumb thinking Tucker Carlson, because he puts these little faces on, is fighting for you. This is the deception. And you can look at this. I'll give you another example. So after I had uncovered all this stuff, you know, here on One Path, I'm filing this major historic lawsuit, winning. The judge was so amazed that I was winning. In fact, Twitter's counsel at Wilmer and Hale didn't believe I was writing my own lawsuits. She said, they're too good. Okay. So the judge then appoints me a constitutional lawyer who then tells me, Shiva, you're going to be the first one back on Twitter, but drop your case against the government. Try to buy me out. I said, fuck you. And I had to do the case myself, Larry. And we're continuing that against CISA. All of this was communicated to Tucker Carlson. He did nothing. Elon Musk, another scumbag. You see, the central principle is anyone who's on mainstream media and gets that much attention is part of the swarm. Americans have become very, very naive. So what I'm trying to say is, You should not find this hard to understand once you go to that principle. Ask yourself, how does overnight Vivek the Snake get on media? Where did Obama come out of? Who is Fucker Carlson? What is he? Has he? Yeah.
And the thing I've respected about your movement is that you have a movement. And my background is in Seattle. I'm still a PCO in the 36th district, which is the heart of this, the beast in Seattle, even though I'm in Jordan. But we've been through this, and your movement reminds me of the Ron Paul movement, where we've got a collective of people who can say, we get it. We see it. We're going to show up to your meeting. We occupied all your PCO spots. We're beating you, but we got no media coverage. And at the end of the day, when we come into a room with Robert's Rules of Order and say, bullshit, I've seen them physically remove the voting equipment. So, you know, my mantra for anyone who asks me about U.S. elections is your point exactly. We don't have elections in my country. We have selections. What do you think about the U.S. presidential race? Look at Dr. Shiva. Everyone wants to talk about Trump or Biden or Trump or Biden.
We did. So you have to understand. So after I exposed all this, when the Trump, so I started when 2020 took place, I was, so here on one hand, I'm exposing the entire government censorship infrastructure. I discovered that. Not Elon Musk, not in Missouri versus Biden, and they concealed it. So I want everyone to get this. Had they brought this out in 2020, we could have had change. So it's not about telling truth. It's not about telling the truth. Any dumb shit now tells the truth. They start a media channel. I'm going to tell the truth. I have my podcast. It's about telling the truth at the right time and to mobilize people to do something about what that truth reflects for human development. You see what I'm saying? If you don't do all three things, you're just full of shit. You're an academic who wants to mentally brainwash people to create learned helplessness. So you tell people, oh my God, see what's going on in Gaza, da, 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 see what's going on. And eventually people say, wow, I've heard so much, but I can't do anything. And the frontal lobe of the front of the brain changes.
Exactly. And that's why I'm a fan and I'm a supporter. And it's not just the presidential race. You were one of the very few people who was there for us during COVID when many of us were saying, and Tom agrees with me, this is bullshit. You know,
right. Not only was I there, Larry, I told the truth as a systems biologist, but then I mobilized people. We organized a Fire Fauci campaign. See, one was science, the truth. The other was freedom.
Well, and I'll give you an example of that in Washington State. You helped us and some people I know, and we're like, we're Dr. Shiva. You know, look at Dr. Shiva. And in our state for Thanksgiving, Governor Jay Inslee said, Trudy and I want you to stay home for Thanksgiving and keep it small and blah, blah, blah. You know what we did? We said, Jay, we're going to change our Thanksgiving plans. We're coming to your house. We had 100 people show up at his house.
Excellent.
For Thanksgiving, we had three turkeys. We broke bread. You know what Jay Inslee did? He cowered in Olympia. So what you helped with that group of people, whether you know it or not, you empowered us to go stand in front of his neighbors who came and said, we don't approve of what you're doing. We said, fuck you. This is bullshit.
That's what needs to happen, man. They do not. These people are very weak people. They do not want people mobilizing like what you just did. You know who else told people to stay at home and that COVID was good? Booby fucking Kennedy.
Yeah.
Again. So it's not the Inslee you could see. He's right there in the devil. But the not so obvious establishment like Booby fucking Kennedy is the reason that great major change doesn't occur, because the establishment, as I talk in the Swarm video, creates the obvious establishment who just want to hammer you with fascism. But they're not going to succeed without this other instrument called the not so obvious establishment. That they mimic the words of true people who want to build movements. They just mimic them, cut and paste. You can see this with Kennedy. Takes literally my speeches at Zoom events, cuts and pastes them, declare your independence. That's our slogan of our independent campaign, steals it.
The other thing that they won't do is they won't back us up. You know,
but let me just finish this point, Larry. The point is that they understand that there will be bottoms up movements like what you just did at the governor's house. You see? And so what they will do is they will literally hijack those movements by mimicking the words and then making sure they snuff out those movements. And this dynamic needs to be understood. So getting back to Fucker Carlson, that is his job. He never stopped. He never did not get a job at the CIA. He definitely got a job.
Okay.
All right. His job was to become a talking head and absolutely do this process called a limited hangout. And then after the devastation is done, be Johnny come lately. So people get numbed with late news. Now let me go to election fraud. So I was right in the middle of it. He knows me. I have his personal email address. He concealed it. And then comes 2 years later, releases a little piece of it. And he's trying to have the cake and eat it too. Act like, oh my God, fucker is releasing the news, right? He's not doing that. He's telling you after all the shit has occurred. What does it matter after 2 years of censorship have taken place? And now you're saying, oh my God, when you knew about it. If he didn't know about it, that's one thing. Give you another example. You know, if you go look back at the same time, so this is one path that I was on here, exposing the backdoor portal to Twitter. The second path is, as a scientist, as a biologist in 2020, exposing Fauci, giving protocols of vitamin D3, quercetin, zinc. I did that. Zelenko just took my shit and made money off of it. Okay? But we saved hundreds of millions of people's lives all over the world. We wrote to Trump, right? We organized a Fire Fauci campaign. So as a leader, I've shown my leadership doing the right thing at the right time to mobilize people. Booby Kennedy was telling people lockdowns were good. Stay at home. Stop the spread of COVID. He waited a year to write a book against Fauci plagiarizing from my videos. He didn't write that book. You see, he's positioned as the fake medical freedom guy. And he openly says, I believe in full vaccination of all Americans. And somehow he's going to get the CDC and the government, right, who he says are corrupt, somehow manipulate them to create safe vaccines. You see, it's just a shtick. It's bullshit. His other uncle, Ted Kennedy, in 1986 is the one who created the 1986 vaccine injury program to protect and indemnify pharma. And then his previous uncle, John fucking Kennedy, who's not a nice human being, he's an imperialist, he's the one who passed the 1962 Vaccination Act. Okay? So the entire Kennedy family has been involved in healthcare, okay? Which has destroyed the immune systems of... So I can see this clearly, and I articulated it at the right time. Now, when it came to the fourth issue that I was in the forefront, I mean, it was 2020 is a wild time. I mean, I'm in the center of the Fauci issue, the election fraud issue, the censorship issue in a serious way at an international level. So here, when it comes, you know, to me, the math was pretty easy as an MIT PhD, right? I started looking at all these things in Michigan, in Georgia, in Arizona. I'm the one who did all those videos, which got hundreds of millions of views, exposing these numbers don't match. Okay. Others came, like Mike Lindell, took my stuff and started selling pillows, including fucking Trump. So I was in this room where I do a lot of seminars. We do a whole thing called Systems Health. Tom, you should get involved in that, where I've cracked the code between Western engineering principles and Eastern systems of medicine. Okay. And I'll talk more about that. So I was giving a lecture here. And I got a call from Mark Meadows, who was Trump's chief of staff. I mean, the White House is calling me because one of my videos showing what was going on in Michigan with the voting on November 5th was totally bullshit. So they claim they called, and everyone's saying Dr. Shiva is the one who's exposing election fraud. So Trump wanted to associate himself with me because the stuff is going viral. I mean, they were getting hundreds of thousands of retweets. So Mark Meadows, who's Trump's right-hand man, calls me. And he says, oh, Dr. Shiva, how can we help? I said, Mark, give me the data in every state. RNC has it, the Republican National Committee, and I can prove this everywhere. And I was doing it with our little servers here, right? I mean, this is no one's paying me for this, Tom, Larry. We're doing this in the midst of doing all these other things, okay? Fighting my lawsuit, all those other things, right? So we never hear back from Mark Meadows. Rona McDaniel's office calls me, which is the Republican National Committee. They all wanted to say, we're working with Dr. Shiva. And they were right to keep credibility among the mass of people who knew that I'm out there fighting this. And then Trump's younger son, Eric Trump, reaches out to me. And I go, Eric, are you going to give me the data? They never gave us the data, Larry, but they used all my fucking material to make $500 million. And when I met, and Trump would go to these huge events and he'd say, I want to thank it. There's videos. I want to thank the great computer scientist, Dr. Shiva. Cha-ching, give me money. Cha-ching, give me money. You see?
Yeah.
They raised about $500 million. And God knows where it went. So this is what everyone needs to understand. They take a real issue, the real truth coming up from independent guys like me who want to change it. And then they hijack that truth. and then they speak about it late or speak half-truths and conceal it. It's a very powerful CIA deep state technique. So Fucker Carlson, you know, everyone's telling him, Fucker, Dr. Shiva's, I have the math. I'm not some random guy. I'm an MIT PhD. How many people get a PhD at MIT in any 1 year? Maybe 500 people. How many MIT PhDs are alive today? Maybe on a good day, 20,000. So it's like a very small set of people. And it's the most prestigious school. So if that guy, what wouldn't you listen to him? Fucker Carlson, if you read those text messages that came out when Dominion sued Fox, okay? He's, there is no election fraud. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. He's telling in text messages it's bullshit. However, he starts seeing the MAGA crowd start agreeing with me. Then he starts doing videos way too late, 2022 now, okay? When the house is burned down. Then he starts talking.
Exactly. And I know you were smart enough to see through January 6th. I was there. And
I saw it 4 days before. I said, something doesn't smell right. But let me just finish with Fucker Carlson. We should go to January 6th. My point is, you have to get out of this numbing mindset of this guy's CIA, deep state. So he waited. He internally, they have these text messages where he's denouncing the concept of election fraud.
Sure.
And then when he sees people are moving towards that, then he starts doing, oh my God, puts on that fucking face he has, right? That whatever bullshit face of concern. And then he's saying, oh my God, there's election fraud, da, 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 right? Now, the reason Dominion won that lawsuit was because they found his text messages. Because he, on the one hand, is talking as though Dominion was involved in the election fraud. Internally, he's saying there is none. This is called defamation with malice, because in defamation law, if there are two public entities, Fox News, Fucker Carlson, or Dominion, Dominion has a much higher threshold to prove that they were defamed. They have to show it was malicious. So if you are a news reporter and you're internally telling, I don't believe there's election fraud, then externally, you're promoting election fraud because you want to get all the viewers. You see, they want to sell, they want to get more ad revenue. So I actually knew there was election fraud and how. So these people are talking about the fake election fraud. So this is what I want to, this is what people need to understand. This is why I call him Fucker Carlson. He was created for this. And then most recently, you know, for since 1984, you know, I live in Massachusetts, you know, been one of the big activists exposing Zionism. Zionism is in fact anti-Semitic. Zionists collaborated with Nazis and butchered Jews. These are facts anyone can study. Zionism is a political ideology. It has nothing to do with as much as Brahmanism, which is a caste system in India, is a political ideology. It has nothing to do with Hinduism. And Zionism was created by a guy called Theodore Herzl, who was an atheist. So Zionism is racism that serves imperialism. That's what Zionism is. And in fact, 70 million Zionists are Christian Zionists. Okay? So, which means 70% of Zionists are Christian Zionists in the United States, who are hardworking class people who've been bamboozled into a version of Christianity, which comes out of this guy, Martin Heckler, I think in the 1800s, who made up this, frankly, made up a religion. It's called the eschatological view of Christianity. And him and Herzl met. So you have 70 million people in the United States who are Christian Zionists. We're manipulating. Now, I've been talking about this for the last year, okay? At least. Now, you know, one of the videos I did, which was, I said, I'm the only presidential candidate who does not suck Zionist cock. And yeah. It went viral, right? I'm not a Zionist cocksucker. Many people believe that. They get it. And I just said the words that was in their head. And so now you see all these same thing, these grifters, acting like they're anti-Zionist, Larry and Tom. You get what I'm saying? You have to understand this dynamic that they're doing. It's like a chameleon faking itself to go attack its prey. You see what I'm saying? Or to keep it stuck. So yesterday, Tucker Carlson puts on that face because how can Christians, you know, support what's going on? Well, why didn't he say this on October 7th? Where was he for 40 fucking years. He says it now because the education our movement is doing and I've been doing has gone out. Like, you know, it's our movement is very powerful. Once you get it, you get it. It's like molasses. Once you stick to it, you can't let it go because the truth, the nature of it. So it's gotten out. And now you see all these grifters, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, starting to act like they're anti-Zionist. But the reality is, you know, this stuff is too little, too late. Let's be honest. Okay, I got to just adjust this. Okay, I just moved our cameras around. So everyone needs to understand, these people are too little, too late by design. And the reason they do this is to make, so then they'll ask questions. And the goal is they want to keep people thinking they are journalists or like somehow they're going to help you. But remember, this is just a news cycle for them. Oh shit, we're losing viewers. I better say this now to keep people stuck, and they'll do it again and again and again. It's like that Jim Carrey thing, the fire marshal Bob. He comes always after the building's burned down with his red suit. I'm here, right? And this manipulation is what's going on. And I'm the only one to call this out, Larry, because the reason I call it out is part of this larger systems dynamic. It's a systems dynamic of deception. And every person we break from it, one by one by one, to show there's the obvious establishment and the not so obvious establishment. And that's why Tucker Carlson is such a wonderful example to learn from. In the medical world, the same thing's occurring. You have the medical big pharma establishment. Obvious establishment kills people. The average 82-year-old is on, you know, 12 different drugs. No one knows the drug-drug interactions, right? People themselves are peeling them away from the medical establishment. The not so obvious establishment that's emerging is these people saying, I'm going to be an integrative medical doctor. And I've seen this for 40, 30 years. Deepak Chopra, Mark Hyman, functional medicine. Okay. They are not really going and solving the fundamental issues of medicine. They're merely trying to keep viewers. So if you go to an integrative medicine facility, they'll be there. They'll have some acupuncturist, some chiropractor. It's more of a lead generation for those groups. They're not fundamentally wanting to solve the fundamental issues with medicine. People like Deepak Chopra and that idiot Sadhguru with this turban talking like this about spirituality, this kind of shit. You had to be vaccinated, vaccine mandates at their retreats. Mm-hmm. So to my view, when you take a systems approach, and this is system science, which really emerged in the 1950s, you can go through any problem, be it in politics, be it in medicine, be it in science, innovation, and you can find out what the real issue is. So, Tom, you may find this of interest. You know, there's a, I grew up in India where my grandmother was a traditional healer, practicing a 20, 30,000 year old system of medicine called Siddha. And they have an entire language, how they do diagnosis, observe the body, right? Figure out people's constitution. It's personalized and precision medicine in many ways. So I saw my grandmother in a small village who had no degrees, no MD, no PhD. I saw her empirically healing many, many people. And then I was also exposed to the caste system in India as a young child, which was this oppressive political system. So I was very interested in systems. By the time I came to the United States when I was 7, I was working in a medical school, Tom, when I was 14, looking at why babies were dying in their sleep, integrating computing, right, with physiology, et cetera. And when I created the first email system as a 14-year-old, I learned how large-scale systems work. So when I came to MIT, I wanted to go into medicine. Fortunately, I did not waste my time because I realized something didn't fit, you know, and I came to the conclusion Western medicine was really created for wartime medicine. If you look at the history of Western medicine, and you really look at the history in the 1800s, a woman called Florence Nightingale, who, by the way, was not just a nurse. She was a member of the Royal Society of Statistics. She was the one who was a system scientist. She saw that soldiers who were dying on the field were not dying from getting shot. They were dying because when they came to the quote-unquote hospitals, in the 1800s, hospitals were where you had to die. They were filthy places, feces, crap, shit, disgusting places. And Florence Nightingale did this wonderful chart, which I don't have here. It's called a cobweb chart, where she educated the elites of her time. And she said, look, people are dying not because of getting shot on the field, but because when we come to the hospitals, there's just filth. So she's the one who said, let's do hygiene, let's clean up the sewers and all this kind of stuff. Okay. Sanitation. She was a systems person. And you can see the number of deaths go down. She had a vision of the healthcare system, which was, you know, one day doctors would come into these hospitals, they would do research. But look, that system of medicine was for crisis care, for putting a soldier back on the field. Oh my God, his nose is blown off. What do we do to stitch that together? His lungs are bleeding, perforated. What do we do, right? It was excellent at that, right? So steroids and antibiotics, you know, all this stuff came out of that, right? Great for that when you're caught in a crisis. But it doesn't know shit about maintaining the body prior to a crisis, right? Because it wasn't designed for that. So you can't blame them for that. They were designed for a wartime crisis condition. Now, Eastern systems of medicine had a whole lingua franca that looked at your body. Oh, this person is this kind of body type. They will need this kinds of food and these kinds of medicine for the same dysfunction over here. Someone's going to need something very different. Okay. So anyway, in 2007, when I finished my PhD work, you know, bunch of degrees at MIT, I decided that it would be important to go back. Now that I have the quote unquote, the credibility, right? I should go back to India and I should really use the engineering systems approach I've learned to study these ancient systems of medicine. And that led me back on a, you know, in 2007 on a 2-year Fulbright, which has now become a whole program called Systems Health. And I'll talk more about this, but this was on the front page of MIT in 2007. They said, armed with 4 degrees, Shivaidra embarks on a new adventure. They were MIT, and this was on the front page of the official MIT newspaper. MIT was confused why I would want to go back to India and study these ancient and old systems of medicine. And what I uncovered in this journey was that all these ancient systems of medicine were fundamentally, so they have a whole language. And I was able to discover that that language that they used to describe the body matched one-to-one with engineering systems principles. Okay? Engineering systems principles. And in order to, you know, educate people on that, it took me another many, many years. And by the way, this is a program that I've created now, and I used to teach it. It took me many, many years to write a paper in the system of engineering. It's an engineering journal where I was able to literally reveal the Rosetta Stone, you know, like the stone that Napoleon found in Egypt, right? Which linked ancient hieroglyphics with old Greek and modern Greek. I had figured out the missing link between engineering systems principles and these ancient systems of yoga and medicine. Quite powerful. When I came back to MIT in 2010, I taught it as an elective course, the most highly attended elective, 200 people would show up, lecture series. And then all of these not so obvious establishment people would invite me to come, like a guy called Deepak Chopra, who'd been trying to explain these systems, but he couldn't explain it. So then he became sort of a pseudo new age guru. You know what I'm saying? So this fundamental understanding led to this major breakthrough of an educational system, which can link engineering system science with these ancient systems of medicine. So I started training MDs, nurses, chiropractors, because see, when I used to teach this class at MIT, on the one hand, you had all of these MDs and PhDs would show up, engineers, and they would sit on one side of the lecture hall. On the other side of the lecture hall, all the woo-woo people would sit. You know, people into detoxing and chiropractic and people this group didn't consider was doing any really work. But this group was never able to articulate what they were saying to this group. So this group thought they were full of shit. So within about 2 hours, with this discovery that I'd made, both groups realized that they were incompetent or ignorant and really understanding a system's way to look at the body. And I built an entire curriculum on it. So that's what ended up happening. But that curricula you can use to understand any system. Truth, Freedom, Health. When I have this on my bumper sticker, you see Truth, Freedom, Health there. This is not a slogan. Truth, Freedom, Health are three of the properties of every phenomenon in nature. Freedom is the aspect of the movement of information, matter, and energy. In engineering, we call it the transport phenomenon. In the ancient systems of Indian medicine, they called it Vata. Truth is actually a conversion process. You apply the scientific method, you put out hypotheses, and then you come to either bullshit ideas or truth. And then you can keep refining it. Okay? Innovation is a process of truth, right? It's a conversion process. Well, in engineering systems, we call it conversion. Okay? You put gasoline into a car, it converts it. An engine is a conversion vehicle, right? It converts it into mechanical motion. Your digestive system is a conversion process. In the ancient systems of India, yoga, they called it pitta. Health is actually the vessel that contains truth and freedom. Because if you don't have health, you can't be a great scientist. You can't do science, nor can you fight for freedom. Well, in the ancients, in this is sort of the vessel that contains it. In engineering, we call it the storage or the structural process. In the ancient systems of Indian medicine, they called it kapha. So I had literally figured out this missing link, Larry and Tom, between these ancient systems of medicine and these modern, and engineering system science. And it took me quite a bit of time because this is essentially a breakthrough, because it lets us really start understanding what were these ancient systems of medicine and then putting together a curriculum on it, right? This is no small feat. And then what I ended up doing was I organized this into a, I couldn't publish it in like the New England Journal of Medicine or Nature, you know, or I had to publish it or in one of these New Age journals. So I published it in an engineering journal, in fact, a systems journal. And fortunately, the editor of that journal had some vision and he courageously published it. And that was called the Engineering Control Systems Foundation, basically of Eastern and Western Medicine. Oops, let me go. I got it. I've done something here to make it smaller. I do here. I don't know what I've done here, but I think I made it too. Oh, there you go. Can you guys see it?
Yes.
Okay. So what this paper revealed is that the paper is a good paper. Tom, if you want, I'll send it to you. But this paper goes into the history of Western medicine. And then as a part of that, I talk about what's going on with the world of pharma, right? They spend more and more money on discovering and they're finding less and less new molecules, the concept of reductionism. I teach people a little bit of biology, all Western side. But the most important thing is I teach people the way that engineers look at the world. And in the interest of time, I'm not going to get into this, but the bottom line is the major discovery here is that we have a table here, which really reveals what I'm talking about here. So in the left, if you took an MIT PhD or graduate level course, this is the terminology used to describe any system: input, output, transport, conversion, storage, etc. And what I uncovered was a one-to-one link. So bottom line is that I've uncovered a vehicle to take all these ancient systems of knowledge, which people have poo-pooed, and put it into engineering framework. But that same knowledge, Larry and Tom, you can apply it to politics. You can apply it to anything. It is truly this, because the fundamental forces of the universe have not changed. Transport, conversion, storage of information, matter, and energy. It also resolves this fake division between spirituality and materialism. You see, it brings it all together. But that's at the heart of the theory that we now teach people. And using that core knowledge, you can apply to fighting truth, freedom, health, right? Educating people to be activists, exposing why Fucker Carlson is Fucker Carlson, right? Because in engineering system science, we would consider him a disturbance who's trying to deviate you from the goal. Or Systems Health Educational Institute. We're now educating all sorts of people to take a systems approach to the body using this engineering systems approach. Or with Cytosol, where we apply this at the molecular level, we're taking every major disease and we're understanding the fundamental nature of disease from a molecular systems approach and finding interventions of combinations of compounds. And we've done that, but none of these solutions are going to get out by the mainstream establishment. We have to take it direct. That's why our movement is important. So I know I've hit you with a lot, but that's what we're doing. But when it comes to, you know, people have these magical thinking of how the world is going to change. When the eclipse occurred, if you notice, oh my God, this is going to, and the tweet, the video I did, I said yesterday, the eclipse is happening, but Zionism will still be here tomorrow. Okay. It's us who are going to change the world. It is through human beings connecting their own personal suffering and their personal journey with the collective journey and realizing that there's 8 billion people here and there's about 100,000 people who understand this system science and they use it to manipulate people. And they are quite devious and they do know what they're doing. But the problem they now have is that I've uncovered this stuff and I've been a ground activist and a scientist, right? So that's not supposed to occur, Larry. You're supposed to stay in your lane. You're supposed to be an engineer at MIT. You're supposed to be a politician over here. You're supposed to be this. You're not supposed to bring all this together and educate people. And that's
why I invited Tom, because when I met him, he's clearly gone out of his lane. And I love it, from surgeon to the type of medicine that he's practicing now. And for me, you know, what the systems you're speaking of, my biggest question is, what can we do to increase our network to get that message out?
And yeah.
Calls like this, what I could do, hey, maybe I can connect you with Tom. Maybe that's an important component. I don't know how that all fits in, but that's a communication and networking that hopefully
I just want to take a quick break because I want to play a couple of videos. I want to play one video, Tom, this will help you understand sort of my journey to systems and then the movement that we've created and how people can participate. But this is sort of a nice little video that sort of shares that whole journey and how all of these things are intersected. And I'll come right back. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email, when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. and Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva. So anyway, so Tom and Larry, so the whole guts of this entire approach that's been uncovered is that in the 1950s or 1920s, people started really studying engineering systems theory. And we started looking at, I mean, obviously the relationship between matter and energy, but information and matter and energy, the work of Claude Shannon. And the work of Ilya Pogroni, who won the Nobel Prize in, I think, physical chemistry in 1957, really brought together this notion of how the universe operates. You know, for a long time, we've thought since Newton shared his, laws of mechanics that this universe is a very mechanistic world, right? I mean, you can predict the motion of a planet around the sun with perfect precision, not only forward in time, but also reverse in time. So this, when Newton came up with this, uncovered this, the religious authorities at those time got quite upset, because in the world of religion or spirituality, there's this notion that, oh, you can create miracles, right? It's not about everything is preordained, right? You, through your good works, through being a certain kind of human being, following this God or that God, you could change your future. So this fell at odds. So you had the separation of science and religion. What Pogroni's work showed was that the universe actually is not mechanistic, okay? That is one state. In the natural state, the universe is actually in a state of random Brownian motion. And that under certain conditions, order emerges when the conditions are right. And so my work takes from where Pogroni leaves off, you know, connects it with engineering system science and this other areas of science and medicine from ancient systems of medicine, and uncovers the fact in a very practical way to basically enable the individual to understand that this mechanistic view of the universe is actually a very oppressive view. You see, because if you take Newton's view and you say, if I have enough data, I can predict anything, right? This is a world that we're heading towards, a dystopian world where everything becomes predictable. So Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg collect enough data, they're telling the government, oh, Shiva's going to do this next, Larry's going to do this next. Because once you have enough data, you can run it through their predictive analytics. So this leads to censorship. This leads to because it's based on this view that you gather enough data, that human beings or the universe is in autonomic mode. You see, it's an automata. It's like a robot. And so you can predict it. Well, what they don't take into account is a concept of the individual raising their consciousness. That perturbs this entire mechanistic world, and you can create different kinds of self-organizing systems. Okay? And that's what I've uncovered. It's a very deep, deep, nuanced concept. Now, this is like that 100 monkey thing. One monkey on the island learns how to crack a coconut, and 1,000 miles away, another monkey learns. So what Pogroni's work in chemical clocks revealed was, it seems like particles are communicating with each other. It's quite fascinating. So when I raise my consciousness to understand Fucker Carlson is Fucker Carlson, halfway around the world, someone's going to raise their consciousness. And this is how we shatter the swarm. This is why I'm so confident that we will win, especially because the movement for truth, freedom, health exists, because I've uncovered it. My journey was supposed to be a professor at MIT, or Tom, your journey was to keep cutting and slicing and dicing people, right? To be in the world, but they don't expect people to raise their consciousness and forget where they came from, you see? And that's what, in a very humble way, my journey from that caste system, from my grandmother understand medicine, from all the other wacky training I got, 4 degrees from MIT, they always have given me opportunities to be co-opted. But I never forgot where I came from, Larry, or, you know, people in New Jersey, everyday working people, you see, or my grandparents. So, and because I have such a deep hatred for these people, a necessary hate, it's very, you know, people keep saying love, love, love is important. But these people are devils. These people are not people that you can show personal, impersonal love to. They're actually devils. And you must show great anger towards them. And someone's like saying, people give me advice. Oh, maybe you shouldn't curse at them. More people follow you. Not true. Dumb. You don't get it. You're dumb. Okay? They precisely do not want someone like me calling them Fucker Carlson or telling people to get off the plantation, because these words break through people's neural networks. And so why the hell is that MIT guy doing that? Well, because precisely this is a solution to break you out of your numbness that Fucker Carlson puts you into, to thinking he's going to fight for you, to thinking, oh, Fucker is saying this. Wow, he's a rebel. No, he's not a rebel. He's a fucker. Because he's precisely doing to you what he wants to do to make you have belief in and faith in him. When the only thing you should have faith in is working people and us building a bottoms-up movement, a true movement of working people to smash this quite a decrepit, awful, awful system, which in a very fundamental way destroys people's souls. We have no idea of human capacity the way the system is set up right now. I mean, I created email as a 14-year-old kid in Newark, New Jersey. The facts are so obvious. They had to create a controversy. A young 14-year-old kid created email in a small farm in Franklin, Idaho. How much human creativity is out there that imperialism contains, Zionism contains, Brahmanism contains? So I would argue we don't know what it means to be a full human being because of the devastating oppression that every human being is put under to say, don't call him Fucker Carlson. No, call him Fucker Carlson. Don't use Zionist cocksucker. No, you must use those words. You must get off the plantation. It's like Malcolm X, one of my great heroes, said, you had the master. How did the master, very few people, survive? Well, they had the house slaves, the blacks who prostrated before their master. When that master's house was burning down, the house slave would say, master's house is burning down. They were more concerned about his house burning down than the master was. So we have created a slave mentality. Who the fuck cares about Fucker Carlson? What has Donald Trump contributed to the universe? What has Booby Kennedy contributed? These people got their positions by not their deeds, but by hitting a birth lottery. Period. It is antithetical to human. Well, fortunately, our movement exists. But we've had to educate people, because this stuff is not intuitive. To teach people the connection between three words and to go to the depths of it, to teach people that it's about the right medicine for the right person at the right time. One size fits all medicine does not work. So these are what we're doing, Larry, and it's working, right? You know, in 2020, when I exposed Trump, I lost 20% of my followers. When we exposed Kennedy, we lost another 20%, because these people are bamboozlers. Or Tulsi Gabbard acts like she's against the military industrial complex. She was all out for destroying Iraq. She was all out for blowing up Palestine. You see, so they're creating these fictional characters. And the reason they're doing this, they do not want us building these bottoms-up movements and following leaders like me who come from below. They don't want us to have our own leaders. They want our leaders to descend from the clouds. And they want us to sit on our ass and thinking some Messiah is going to come. There ain't no Messiah coming. We have to, you know, liberate ourselves. And I believe there's a God. He's watching us and he'll smile and support us in doing that. Right? But no one's coming to, you know, there's no eclipse that's going to change the world. There's no alignment of the stars that's finally going to liberate you. We have to get off the plantation in a deliberate way. And that deliberate way is our movement for truth, freedom, health. I'll play this last video and then maybe we can finish up, okay? And we can talk some more. We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves. Because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to. And we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is a not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is a not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com. All right, Larry and Tom, so I hope that gives you a whole picture. You know, it's really been a life journey to intersect these multiple worlds. You know, the political world, the world of medicine, the world of engineering, system science. And I think we've done it. So it's a very interesting period now, because now it's essentially taking these solutions, real solutions to people, and mobilizing some. So in the world of medicine, this curriculum will make a yogi or a guru or a doctor a better doctor, because they'll have this very foundational knowledge, which heretofore never existed, to really see things and deliver solutions a different way. In the area of science, we have at the molecular science level, which I haven't talked about, Cytosolv. It came out of my PhD work to really eliminate the need for animal testing, where we can take the body of work in the existing literature in any field of any disease. We can extract out the molecular pathways, organize them, create architectures, and then go after every major disease. And we've been doing this quietly for 16 years. And we've published papers in the leading journals that even the establishment can't deny. So we're at a very interesting point. We're going to take that platform for doing science direct to people. So if you want to ask a scientific question and do research, Larry or Tom, you can use this infrastructure to do that, citizen science. So, and then Truth, Freedom, Health is obviously the leadership movement. We're taking people who are moving down that path of consciousness. They're getting over the establishment, and then they get to a point where they have to get over the next hump, which is a not so obvious establishment, which is, this is why they create these people, Larry. They create the Booby Kennedys and the Tucker Carlson, so they stick people, so they don't move forward in their journey. So what else? But it was, I know I shared a lot, but I think you guys hopefully get what we're doing here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if I were in Seattle as a Truth, Freedom, Health warrior, I'm all in. This is, to me, the next evolution.
But this is global. But we're everywhere. Yeah.
And so now here I am in Jordan on a daily basis. People ask me, what do you think? And there's a limit to what I can do. But my answer is always, look at Dr. Shiva. Go to Dr. Shiva. Let's talk about truth, freedom, and health. There is other information out there. It isn't just that there's a Biden and that there's a Trump, you know. And as we...
Hey, Ken, can you get me a Truth, Freedom, Health Shatter the Swarm bumper sticker, Ken? Thanks. So this movement, in its manifestation in the United States, it's me running for president. But we have the movement in Norway. We have the movement in Southeast Asia. We have the movement in every part of the world, okay? And every part of the world, people are, you know, and that's Shatter the Swarm, okay? So you should get one of these. You should have it out in. You should go watch this video called ShatterTheSwarm.com. It's your guy's homework assignment. Hasn't seen it, he'll enjoy it. But the goal is, in different parts of the world, there are different strategies, different local things. But the core is, you have to understand this interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. You can't just be fighting for freedom without your ill health. You can't be being a yoga Nazi and doing yoga postures all day, but not giving a damn about, you know, the political issues or the issues of what's going on in science, right? All of these three things have to be interconnected. And the establishment has been very clever. Oh, you're a medical doctor. Stay in your lane. Don't talk politics, right? So politicians do politics, medical doctors supposedly do medicine, and scientists do supposedly science. But neither of them are really doing any of them in their full scope, because they have to be interconnected. Any questions, Tom? You've been quiet, but we can do a follow-up.
Yeah, I'm listening all the time. Thank you very much for your speech.
Tom, one of the things, Larry, we're doing is the systems health workshops. Now we're doing once every 2 months. We have physicians, chiropractors, nurses who come to Cambridge, and we've created, I mean, it's the same curriculum I used to teach at MIT, but we've advanced it where we provide people tools. It's an educational system. So if you're a doctor, you can teach your patient how to see the body as a system, and we give the tools to do that. If you're a yoga teacher, you can become a better yoga teacher. You don't have to be in this little lane. But anyway, I hope this is valuable, Larry. But I think where you both are, I think the value is, you know, we have in different regions, regional leaders, supporters. So go through the program, and then we should connect to get you guys, you know, set up to join the leadership program, because we have lots of people in the Middle East, but we don't know who to send them to right now. Okay. So we're letting this percolate on its own through merit. As people get educated, then we give them leadership roles.
Ah, okay, great.
Yeah. We don't want to do top down, right? Because you end up with the same system. We give the education. We watch how people absorb it, how much they do, et cetera. So the action steps that can happen in the United States, everyone listening can go get one of these bumper stickers. And the reason this is important is because it takes a lot of courage to put this on your car. You can take these bumper stickers and leave them on your dining room table, but one level of activism, you put it on your car. 100,000 people see those bumper stickers. Another very, very important thing that we've done, which, you know, where the rubber meets the road, is we have intersected, you know, directly health and politics. And if people go to this website, Shiva4president.com, this is the undeniable reality here. If you go here, this is our website. Obviously, everyone should go here and volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. That's one thing people should do. The other thing they can do on the site that's very, very important is if you want to donate, our donation model is very different. If you support the campaign, we don't just ask you for money. We give you things. So if you donate a certain amount, you get books and you get papers. You donate more. We give you an entire course program, right? We teach you system science. So this is a very powerful way that it's very hard. We give you, you know, like 5 or 6 books. We train you on how to think of the world of systems. But one of the profound things on this website is this very, very important flyer. If you want, Larry and Tom, you guys can help translate this for us into maybe Urdu or Arabic or, you know, whatever the local language is. And we have the, if you go to Shatter the Swarm, we have the version that's not just about our presidential campaign. It's Shatter the Swarm. This is more broader, called Shatter the Swarm, the Lesser of Two Evils. And what you see here in this graph that's very, very important to understand is that the lifespan in the United States is going down. And it's not because of something with just COVID. It's been going on since 1980. And the rest of the industrial world, as you can see, this curvature is going down. So this clearly shows that neither left or right can solve this problem. And then we explain to people who the swarm is, who caused this, and why we need a systems overhaul. So if you want your life to have meaning, you can tweak the system or you can go for the systems overhaul. But you need to understand who the swarm is. And then we invite people to watch the videos, you know, become a warrior, but come to our town hall, because every week we take on a different topic: healthcare, right? Innovation, environment. And we really give solutions for each one of the practical things that people can do here and now, not wait, you know, 10 years, but do now. So it's very, very important for people to take action and get involved. So that's what we've organized. It's a lot of work, but it's come to a point now where anyone can take it out. But we're allowing it to be structured in such a way, you have to go through the training. You have to get out there and hand out, you know, you can learn all this stuff, but if you don't go hand out and meet people, it's really not real. You have to have the human interaction. That's it, everyone. I take this thing at 4, but it was great meeting you. I hope we get to meet, but Larry and Tom, let's, you know, we can do a follow-up if you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Be well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 I think I can remove these. Yeah. Okay. All right, everyone. I hope that was valuable. So remember, go get one of these bumper stickers. Don't waste your time. Go to Shiva for President. But become a Truth, Freedom, and Health Warrior Scholar. It's your only way really out of this, independent of me, to really understand these concepts. Because once you understand the concepts, you can start getting off the plantation for good. Thanks, everyone. Be well. Be the light. We need to build a bottoms-up movement. Go to ShivaForPresident.com and volunteer.